Alright, you're listening to Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM. I'm DJ Question Mark here with Jordan from Kansas Mutual Aid, which is a community organization dedicated to the education, betterment, and liberation of society. Jordan, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, you have like a points of unity on your website, I guess, that kind of explain what Kansas Mutual Aid is about, and I was wondering if you would like to go through those.
Yeah, I can go through those real quick. It's an 8-point system we've got set up, kind of based off other people's models. But our first point is we advocate the right of all people and peoples to community and self-determination. And that's kind of where we draw, like, power from our communities from, the idea that each community should have the right to determine its own destiny and its own growth and not be determined by larger businesses or corporations within those communities, but by the people themselves. We've also, our second point is we advocate the right of all people to receive proper shelter, nutrition, and education. This is kind of our idea that these basic human rights, these human freedoms, are the rights of all people and should not be based on class or race or orientation or any of those above, and that it should be our responsibility as community members to provide those things for each other. Our third point is we advocate workers' empowerment. Kansas Mutual Aid had very large syndicalist beginnings where it was working a lot with different groups here in Kansas to advocate for workers in different industries around Lawrence, mostly undocumented workers in the area, their right to control their workplaces and to organize for better working conditions, pay, and so that everyone can receive everything of their labor that they deserve. We advocate a society free of discrimination in all its forms. Basically, we advocate the abolishing of all the isms of racism and classism and sexism and discrimination of any kind based on any kind of difference we may all have. Our fifth point is real important. It's that we advocate restorative justice. Restorative justice is a model where both offender and victim or survivors, better word probably, can learn and grow from the experiences of and a kind of antisocial behavior. We advocate restorative justice over other models that the police force and prison industry in this country use. We advocate the creation of a free and borderless society. Talking about how national borders is a segregation of societies and are usually used, nation states are usually used to pit people against each other. This is following the idea of creating societies without borders or governments. We can create actual real communities. We advocate the demilitarization and decolonization of society. This is kind of our talk about imperialism and its broad-reaching power through everything and how we are fighting against U.S.-led imperialism and European-led imperialism all over the world, especially for the indigenous people in this country. And the last one is we advocate environmental protection. Incredibly important all over the world is taking care of the areas that we live in and taking care of our communities, not just in the sense of the people, but in the sense of the actual areas and the resources that we're using. And we end it with a all power through all people, which is an old Black Panther saying. And those are our 8 points of what we talk about.
So how did Kansas Mutual Aid come to be, and particularly how did these points get worked out?
Kansas Mutual Aid has been around since 2002. It started here as a chapter of the Lawrence Anarchist Black Cross, which is a Abolition Prisoner Support Group. There are chapters of the Anarchist Black Cross all over the country. But this started as a legal collective. There was large repression of anarchists in Italy in mid-2002, raids of anarchist groups and lots of arrests. And Kansas Mutual Aid was started as a group to raise funds for those legal defenses, and it managed to raise several hundred dollars and sent it over to Italy, and the collective's working there. It didn't actually become its own separate organization until 2004, which is when it kind of broke from ABC and took on more projects, most of the projects that we're doing today. And I guess when it comes to the points of unity and these kind of what we believe in, they've been hammered out throughout the last couple of years. The collective has grown in size from two or three people in the beginning to over a dozen now. So we repeatedly go back and check and see what we're writing and what we're saying is still holding true to what we believe. So it's basically been a collection of dozens of people working on these to try and make them be as concrete as possible.
Right on. Can you go into the projects? Because I think that's what's so impressive about this group is the number of projects and the level of commitment.
Yeah, we are working on a surprisingly large amount of stuff. It's interesting to look at it all written down. One of the main projects coming out of Kansas Mutual Aid is the Allied Resistance Network, and it's a network of prison revolutionary groups. We are Kansas Mutual Aid, KMA, is the outside support network. We're the only free world group in the network. And there are hundreds of affiliates throughout the different prisons in the U.S. We publish a newsletter that has about 500 people on the mailing list right now. It's all prisoner written. It's all pieces about prison abolition written by revolutionary prisoners.
How did that come to be?
I think coming from the Anarchist Black Cross, which was originally a prisoner abolition group and a prisoner revolutionary group, when people came from ABC to KMA, they decided to bring those ideals of wanting to work with prisoners to bring about a better society with them. Individual members of KMA have been corresponding with different people in prison all over the country for years now. Some people have had extremely long-standing friendships with people they've never met. I think the collective itself, at the moment, probably supports personally up to 100 prisoners. And what I mean by support is multi-pronged. It's emotional and personal friendship as well as legal and monetary support and making sure people have the things they need to survive and the things they need to enhance their thought, literature and that kind of thing.
Can you talk more about prison abolition and what that means?
Prison abolition is the idea, is kind of coming off that restorative justice model where groups like us don't believe in the prison industrial complex. The prisons, the way they are designed today as primarily racist institutions. Prison abolitionists basically believe in doing away with all prisons and doing away with all the prison-like models of I can't think of the word for it now, but the models that don't follow a restorative justice model where you have a state or a government or anyone really deciding the fate of an offender of some sort of antisocial behavior, supposed crime. You have a state deciding that besides instead of the communities that are being affected by the crime, which really should have the power to deal with that offense in what they deem to be appropriate.
So would you say it's more of a community response as opposed to like an authority response?
Yeah, yes, definitely. I feel the when you talk about communities taking power back, it's also taking power back for their own safety and for their own well-being, and that includes offenses that do occur inside communities. which it doesn't make much sense to have a state or a government deciding the fate of an offender of some crime when really the communities are the ones that are being affected by it. So they would know best how to deal with it and to ensure that it doesn't happen in the future.
So is Kansas Mutual Aid has other projects involving inmate support. Can you talk about those?
I guess the main projects are we do a prisoner transportation program where we give free transportation to prisoners' families, mostly in the Midwest area, in Kansas and Missouri specifically. A lot of families are torn apart when a member is sent to prison. They're sent hundreds and thousands of miles away from anywhere, from any connection to their home. And it's difficult to get to those places. So we provide free transportation for people in those areas to go visit family members or friends or anyone really they wish to in prison.
How did that get started, and how do you keep that going?
That got started with the purchase of a small school bus, a small-sized school bus. It's about 16 people. The call was put out every issue of the Allied Resistance newsletter we put out. We put a call for anyone who requires assistance getting around. Can use that. It hasn't been utilized to the extent that we had hoped it would be utilized for, but we are hoping to expand our progress to include all other states, not just the Kansas and Missouri areas. So hopefully that'll pick up again.
Right on. And what other projects?
Oh, yeah. KMA sponsors a couple different projects. We have a large community garden in Lawrence. It's totally run by people in the area. It's a 27-bed organic garden in the middle of downtown Lawrence. And out of that, we generate enough food to serve a twice-weekly food serving in downtown Lawrence called Food Not Banks. It's kind of a our version of Food Not Bombs. We serve outside the U.S. Bank on the main street here, kind of as a twice-weekly protest against the banking systems. And besides serving Food Not Banks, we have a free food program where people who are who would need fresh produce can either come pick it up or we can deliver it to their homes. Because a lot of services in this area will provide canned goods or dry goods, but it's very hard to get fresh produce if you are on a fixed income or in low income. So that's a service we provide. We have a community bike shop that we are running for free for anyone who needs help getting around. Lawrence is not terribly bike friendly, so we're trying to advocate people's use of bicycles and to give them a free alternative to the slightly overpriced the corporate bicycle shops in the area. We've got a long list of projects kind of similar to those. We have started a neighborhood watch program where we are creating a neighborhood watch program that doesn't involve the police in any way, creating kind of this system inside specifically one neighborhood here in Lawrence called the East Lawrence Neighborhood, and through the East Lawrence Neighborhood Association, we've created systems where we can apply that restorative justice model I was talking about earlier, where victims and offenders can have mediation instead of police intervention, and where people can start to rely on their neighbors and themselves instead of the police here in Lawrence.
How is that working out so far?
It's working out incredibly well. We have been fielding calls from people all over the neighborhood about disturbances or noise complaints and calls that would normally be going to the cops and involving them. And that whole idea into the picture have been instead people have been calling their neighbors and calling their friends and calling each other and relying on each other to create like this network of friends and support instead of relying on the police. Several situations have been diffused that would have eventually ended in arrest and are now being worked out through mediation, stuff like that. So it's been highly receptive by almost everyone in the neighborhood.
That sounds like a really great program.
Yeah.
I've also read about that you maintain a hotline that works as kind of like a police oversight accountability.
Yeah, we maintain a hotline where if anyone witnesses any kind of police misconduct, they can call us and we will document it and compile it into a file. And basically, we are trying to create a citizens oversight committee. Right now, Kansas requires each city to have an oversight committee dealing with racial profiling. But we're hoping to expand that oversight committee to actually have some effective power over the police department. And after compiling all this information about police misconduct, we're trying to put pressure upon the city commissioners to grant us that request for a police oversight committee. But yeah, that hotline has been used many times in the past, and we have a rather fast reaction time when it comes to getting ourselves down there to witness interactions between the police and then somebody else.
So essentially you have like a hotline that if people see cops handling people bad or just like cops interacting with people, they can call it and legal observers can be on hand?
Yeah. Almost everyone in KMA has been trained as a legal observer for many situations. We have done legal observations for protests in the past. The most recently was the Kansas City anti-G8 protest. We've also done legal trainings for how to deal with the FBI investigations and grand juries. When the FBI came to Lawrence 2 summers ago to investigate the activities here, Kansas Mutual Aid was the main group that organized around the resistance to that, whether it was legally or monetarily or just spreading the information about what it means to resist FBI control. So pretty much everyone has been trained as a legal observer and acts in that role when a call comes in.
What happened with that? I remember reading on InfoShop about that.
Basically, there was an investigation into different groups mostly in the Midwest, Denver and a couple other cities. The FBI had a huge presence here in Lawrence, coming to people's works, like places of work and people's homes and people's parents' homes. And it was all based around the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, that was held in Boston that year. There were allegations made as to the FBI was investigating the activities in Lawrence and other cities because of the DNC that was coming up and the RNC that was coming up.
Did the FBI harassment like intimidate people? Did it have an effect on the activist scene in Lawrence?
It actually drew people much closer together. The FBI was a huge rallying point for a lot of people, and the outpouring of support from liberal groups in Lawrence and other groups around the country was huge. Money for legal defenses started coming in. People started showing up just regularly to our the info shop here we have called Solidarity. It's the Solidarity Revolutionary Center and Radical Library. People started hearing about the fact that the FBI was there and would start coming down to Solidarity to try and figure out what they could do to help or support people in any way. And it brought the anarchist community much, much closer together. It seems that when things happen like that, people tend to kind of draw together. So it actually created a stronger movement in my eyes, kind of, I think, probably not what the FBI had intended. But yeah, so it definitely helped cement the bonds that are already here.
Can you talk more about the legal fund and the legal support?
The legal fund has been maintained since KMA was founded back in 2002. We have raised money for different groups when they've been in need of support. Most recently, we have been support groups for the anti-racist action, people who were arrested in Toledo, Ohio, the critical resistance chapter in New Orleans that was destroyed, war resister Dave Siegel, and several other groups, the Pittsburgh organizing group after their military recruitment protest was attacked by police dogs and cops with tasers and that kind of stuff. Basically, when calls come in like that, we try and gather our resources and tap into our monetary fund as best we can to send out money to those who are the most in dire need of legal support. And it's been used time and time and time again over the years.
For things locally, do you have like a lawyer that you're in touch with? How does that work?
We have local lawyers that are sympathetic. So locally, we've got several lawyers who've worked with people in the past when it comes to different trials. There have been several protests and events here that have led to arrests, and we've had lawyers work either pro bono or for extremely reduced rates. And there was an NLG lawyer living in Lawrence for a long time, but I think he's gone now. But he was also pretty instrumental. The NLG, the National Lawyers Guild, he was pretty instrumental in helping create relationships between lawyers and activists in Lawrence.
It says on your website that you also do a zine distro and community education.
We have a zine distribution. It's mostly, it's all free to prisoners, and it's all political and radical thought. It's mostly a list we maintain and is sent out with our monthly newsletter, the Allied Resistance newsletter, so that people in prison can request those titles from us, and we send them out free of charge. We do hundreds of requests all the time. We're constantly sending out large amounts of literature to prisons all over the country. We also table at different events to help raise money for postage costs and all that kind of stuff, and sell zines on a sliding scale from a quarter to whatever. It's a pretty wide-ranging list of titles, from anarcho-feminism to revolutionary ecology to new African movements to the Puerto Rican nationalist movement to all different kinds of people's struggles. And when it comes to community education, we have a once-a-week study group which is led each week by a new person who basically presents on a topic to a group, which then opens the group up to discussion. We've discussed things in the past. We discussed Sacco and Vanzetti recently. We'll be doing July 1936 in Spain next, and after that we'll be talking about the Young Lords. We call it the People's History Study Group, trying to focus mostly on our history, on the people's history of rebellion and revolution. And those are always free and open to the public. We have those at our info shop, which also serves as a meeting place for KMA and other groups.
Can you talk a little bit more about this info shop? It seems like it's really cool that you have a physical space.
Yeah, we have a rather large info shop. It's, like I said before, it's called the Solidarity Revolutionary Center and Radical Library. It just celebrated its fourth birthday back in August. We've got several thousand titles, probably 4,000 or 5,000 books, for free at the lending library, plus a pretty sizable amount of books for sale in our info shop. It's all volunteer run, and all based solely off donations. There's about 30 to 35 volunteers at any given time working three-hour shifts every day. We're open 7 days a week, either 6 or 9 hours a day. And it's where most of the group, a lot of groups in Lawrence meet. It's where KMA, Kids Mutual Aid, meets. The Anarchist Black Cross meets there. We have a women's health discussion group that meets there. We have a queer discussion group that meets there as well. Lawrence Counter Recruitment meets there for the time being, while it's an anti-military recruitment campaign that goes on the college campus, mostly of University of Kansas, which is here in Lawrence. So it's a community center as well as being a library. It's a center for place. It's a place for people to come and congregate and discuss the ideas that we talk about so often.
Sounds like a cool place to stop by.
It is. It is. We are, if anyone happens to be in the area, we're located at 1119 Massachusetts Street. We've got a website. It's LawrenceSolidarity.net. If you want to check it out.
That's great. I'm curious, what kind of responses have you got from the literature that you sent into prisons?
The responses, do you mean from the inmates themselves or from the prisons? Or 'cause it varies greatly.
Yeah, no, from the prisoners that receive this radical literature.
Everyone is always kind of surprised that we're able to send so much literature for free without needing any kind of compensation. People are extremely happy to receive literature. It's always done by request. So people will request a certain title and we'll send it to them, and it usually generates letter after letter after letter after letter of discussion about the literature that they're reading. Everyone's really happy with the titles that we carry and really excited to pass around the information, because you know when a piece of literature ends up in prison, it doesn't just end up with one person. It's always spread around to as many people as it can get to. And people will ask for several copies of literature they like, and have actually started to form study groups within the prisons, so that we can be studying the same things on the inside and the outside and kind of learning together as we go. And that's always really exciting.
That sounds like a great program.
Yeah.
So how do you get funding for all these projects?
Most of it comes out of pocket by the people working with them, and we also have a lot of contributors. Everything we do is by donation. We get large monthly donations from people all over the city and all over the country, really, who like to keep our projects going. But a lot of it comes from the people who are involved with the project. People are dedicated to the point where these are no longer outside projects. These are no longer things we do in our spare time, but really they are what we do. So a lot of our money gets funneled into them as well as our time.
I'm curious why you all chose to do so many projects under the same name. Usually it seems that anarchists like to think of names for every little project that they have, but you guys seem to have many projects in one name. Can you tell me about that?
The acronym HAPPY, anarchism is pretty prevalent. I think a lot of the projects that KMA does were not always under the banner of KMA, but have been slowly solidified into this one group. People thought it was important to have this one recognizable name, that when really amazing things are happening, people can recognize the Kansas Mutual Aid name and know that these are the people who are working really hard to further it, or these are the people who are working really hard to create these new things. And it cuts down on confusion. It cuts down on trying to figure out who's involved with what when it's all really the same people anyway. So it's kind of a way of like streamlining all these projects. And also, it gives us an opportunity to talk about them all at once. We have a once weekly meeting where we sit down for a couple hours and discuss all of these projects. And it gives us a chance to not only practice this idea of like direct democracy and stuff and consensus, but gives us a chance to talk about everything that's going on and keep track of everything that's going on all at once instead of having them spread out over multiple meetings.
So how are you organized so that there's not these like entrenched leaders?
I mean, it's a problem in any kind of organizing group, but really staying as strictly as we can, not strictly, but as tightly as we can to consensus-based decision-making. Spreading work around in the sense that where one person is not responsible for more than they should be responsible for. We have a way of plugging in to KMA where we have a literal map of every project we do that has every large step that goes into those projects, so people can plug into them in the ways that they feel they're capable. And while, I mean, KMA does have a handful of main organizers who've been with the project for a very long time or things like that, the work is spread out over such a large amount of people that it's difficult for anyone to really be considered a leader or a main organizer.
So I'm curious, like, how did you get so organized? Because, I don't know, anarchists in Olympia are nowhere near as organized as this.
I'm actually not from Lawrence. I moved here just a little under a year ago, and I was amazed to see I'm from New York, I'm from Brooklyn, and I was amazed to see how organized and dedicated the people were here. And I think it really does come down to a dedication. It comes down to people have been doing this for a really long time here. There are people who've been organizing this way for decades. Some of them. We've got people here who were involved in different people's struggles in the 70s who are still involved and, you know, in their 60s and still calling themselves anarchists and still involved in this. And they give us insight into not repeating the mistakes of the past. It's a dedication that I've seen not seen paralleled many other places. I don't really know how to put into words how the want or the need to be organized and successful comes from, but it's a real entrenchment into knowing that these organizing tools are part of a larger struggle and part of a larger movement, and knowing that we have to do our share in order for us to be successful.
Well, this is very inspiring.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I guess I plugged all the things I need to plug. I was just going to say thank you for highlighting us on your radio show. This is a great opportunity to try and explain what Lawrence is doing. We are a college town, and we are part of the Midwest, but we tend to be different in a lot of ways. So it's difficult for people to understand really the dynamics that go on here, and it's great to have this opportunity to try and explain them and to get the word about our projects out. KMA also has a website. It's alliedresistance.org/KMA. We'll bring you to that, and you can, off that website, there are different links to the Allied Resistance website and different prisoners whose web pages we host. And so, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jordan. So that was Jordan from Kansas Mutual Aid. And again, if you are more interested in more information about Kansas Mutual Aid, you can check out alliedresistance.org/KMA.